excuse me a second while I go back to my screen. And I want to thank everybody for joining us today for the economy and the impact of the call center industry. We've had an incredible response to this, so we know that it is a highly desirable topic. We've had over 1,500 people registered for this event, and I do want to let you know that it is being recorded right now, so hopefully we will be able to have the recording available after the session. I did put a chat out on where it would be available, so I will also notify everybody when the session is available if the quality is good. So thank you for joining us. For those of you who may not be a member of the Contact Center Performance Forum, and that is the URL for that. Please go out. We've got some great discussions there. And you can also stay current on the other events that we have scheduled throughout in the future. And just this is a review. This, by the way, this presentation will also be posted on that site, and again, you will get notice of when that is available. But just real quickly, we have an event on hiring agents. We have an event on Web 2.0 on customer equity management. And then Zappos is going to do a presentation, I believe, on April 9th. That's still to be confirmed, but it will be in April. And then Extreme Customer Satisfaction 101. The attendees, you are muted. I am looking at your questions as time goes on, and I am the moderator of this session, so sometimes I may not be able to get back to your questions immediately, but we will have a Q&A session about 15 to 20 minutes at the end of this session. So please send your questions in as we go along, and I will forward those to the appropriate panelist as we go forward. And again, number three, the webinar is being recorded, and if the quality is good, we will present it. I tried to record one last week, and it was a disaster, so hopefully this one will not be. And the presentation and the audio portion will be available at that website. And again, I will send you an email and let you know. The biggest thing that I have found is a lot of times my email, which is kjackson@responsedesign.com, gets into a spam filter. So if you don't get an email from me, go out to Contact Center Performance Forum, and I'll post when it's available there as well. Please help us by taking the survey at the end of this. You will be presented when you close out of this session. The best thing about that survey is we're asking you eventually during that survey of are there topics, follow-on topics for this topic that you would like to see us schedule a discussion on. And if you don't have the survey that this session is based on, it is also available for free download on the responsedesign.com/webinar. And just a few webinar objectives so that we can level set. We want to discuss during this session the pain points revealed in the survey. We don't want to rehash everything that was in the survey report, but we want to talk about the big pain points and to give you practical ideas on how we all can meet these challenges. And we want to allow you to suggest the future topics, as I just mentioned, either through the Q&A session or the post-webinar survey. And these can be, there's so much meat in this session and in the survey and in the results and in the economy and how it's affecting us, that I think there's probably some add-on discussions and webinar events that we want to schedule, but we only want to schedule them if they are important to you. So we really ask you to help us out by letting us know what's important. Here is a real brief panelist introduction. They're going to do their own presentation of who they are. And so just to let you know, Bruce Belfiore is here. I'm not even going to go into who they work with right now and what their expertise is because they will be doing that. Chad McDaniel, Mike Nessler, and Phil Grzynski. And I am Catherine Jackson. I'm the moderator. I'm the one that's going to try and keep this thing on time so we have enough time for you all to ask your questions at the end. So if I can just ask Bruce to lead off, and Bruce, when you want me to change your slide, just let me know.
Okay. Thank you very much, Kay. Well, hello, everyone. And as my bio indicates, I've been very focused on research, writing, training, and consulting for the contact center sector. And I've seen the toll that this economic downturn has taken on our sector, and I'm anxious to share some of the findings and thoughts that we have on this topic. One thing, though, is that we should never give up, you know, despite the pain. And, in fact, we have to come up with creative, inventive solutions to help our centers and our sector. And so in addition to the credentials that I put above, my personal commitment to this approach of creativity is indicated by the last item there, Symbly, which is a delightful symbol language that should make call center software more efficient and effective in the future by encapsulating big chunks of text into easy-to-click symbols. This is an example of where creativity can, in fact, be one of the things that helps us through this period. So whatever your contribution may be, do a little sort of mental search there with regard to how you can be creative in helping your colleagues, your customers, and your center, because now is the time really to bring that forth. The next slide. Some of the things that struck me about this study is that managers really are on overload right now. And there's an awful lot of pressure that's coming from a lot of different areas, too many moving parts to really keep up with everything. And so what is it that you can look to and to hang on to, some tools to guide you reliably through this very difficult period? And one of the things that is very important is to understand how you bring value to your call center and to your enterprise. And so it's vital to know which metrics and methods can act as North Stars so that you can make intelligent decisions. If you can benchmark those metrics against your competitive peers, you can understand how to make yourself more competitive in the industry. If you improve your metrics and then you quantify those metrics and you quantify the improvement, you can show that improvement to senior management and make your position more secure during a very difficult period of time. One of the things that the study commented on was that managers are concerned about training for their agents and for their supervisors during this period of time, but don't forget about yourself. One of the things that you need to do, and those of us who are parents are constantly being told, think about yourself once in a while. You need some training and peer sharing opportunities to find the best practices for these difficult times. And if, by any chance, you're unemployed as a result of the downturn, use the time to get education and to credential yourself. Okay, Kay, back to you.
Okay.
Hi, Kay, this is Chad, and welcome, everybody. I'll go real quick here. You probably received an email from me at one point or time over the years here, but anyhow, it's a pleasure to be here and really appreciate all the panelists that have come and made use of their time today for our audience. For those that do not know us, we are a specialized executive search firm in the managed services space, everything in the BPO, CRM, direct marketing, call center. We've been doing it for the last 10 years. We've been uniquely positioned to really understand how this downturn has been impacting both the employer and the employee, and my goal today in the session is really to put on the HR hat and talk about the human element to all of this. But just in summary of our firm, we've done multiple white papers and other industry-related materials provided to the industry. These are all complimentary. They can be located in our website at www.justcareers.com. And we try to stay as active as we can, providing as much benchmark data to our readership and our audience. And then finally, we're heavily involved in the search placement compensation, resume and offer negotiation. And my goal today, Kay, is to, as I stated earlier, is really put that HR hat on today and talk about the human aspect.
Terrific. And just a couple of, I am getting some people who say they are losing the audio. That's one of the things that happened last week with if you're on VoIP, sometimes the audio goes in and out. That's why I'm on a dial-in number. So unfortunately, if you have the dial-in number, which should be over on your GoToWebinar window, you may want to try a dial-in number because that tends not to go down. So Mike, if you can go ahead and introduce yourself now.
Thanks, Kay. I'm Mike Netzler. I'm an EVP of Global Operations for Intercall. We are one of the largest conferencing companies worldwide. I've got a deep background in customer service and operations over the, roughly the past 16 years in a number of different companies, including AT&T and Convergys, Fujitsu, and currently I work for Intercall, which is a division of West. If you could please jump to the next slide, please. A couple of things hit me as I looked at this study and I thought about the impact that the economy was having on the call center space. First of all, capital spending and operating expense within organizations is being cut in lots of different places. And that is not only in our organizations and what we do to support service, but also in those companies that supply us with services, companies that are in and around the telecommunications space, and companies that provide us with servers, routers, and all the equipment that's necessary to support our business. Everybody's feeling the pinch, and I have a sense that that pinch could potentially impact quality levels as we go forward. Not only on the technology side, but also as we think about this from the operating budgets that we manage in on a day-in, day-out basis. How do we keep folks when our parents are trying to make sure that we minimize expense, and how do we grow service and improve quality in the midst of such trying times? Look forward to spending some more time talking about these and other points and other thoughts as we get into the remainder of this webinar. So I'd like to hand it back to Kay.
Great. Thanks, Mike. Okay, Phil, if you can introduce yourself, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. Hi, I'm Phil Grudzinski. I am the Vice President and General Manager for AMX for their International and Services Group. I currently manage all aspects of insurance distribution and marketing worldwide. 90% of what we do, maybe even a little bit more, is all on the outbound and inbound telemarketing side. Prior to AMX, I've had a long-term career with GE and managed all of the cross-sell functionality for GE, which, again, 70% of all the business that we generated was through teleservices. And right now I'm serving as the second term for the American Teleservices Association. So hopefully what I can bring to everybody on the phone here is really a strategic perspective in terms of the business side, in terms of what we're requiring from partners and contact centers around the world, and as well as touch upon some of the regulatory implications as a result of really what Mike was talking about, is that functionally there's going to be some impacts to customer satisfaction levels, and how does that play out on the regulatory spectrum. So thank you. Back to you, Kay.
Sure. Sorry for the blip in the slides there. What I'd like to do is, I think for time's sake, I'm going to not do the polling question and go straight on, because I want to make sure we have enough time for questions. This is when we did the survey and we analyzed the results, over 85% of the 815 respondents did tell us that the economic downturn was hitting them or some part of their call center operations. And according to those responding, the hardest hit areas that you can see were the agent staffing and hiring, management staffing, hiring. And I know that these are large categories, and we're going to go into these a little bit more as the panelists discuss this. The next thing that we saw, and this is the one that got me as we were looking at the survey, was that what are the biggest challenges? And I think that's why they're so much interested in this. Is one of the largest areas is the operational cost. How do I manage that in the economic downturn while balancing employee customer satisfaction as well as quality? So one of the things we're going to do now is we're going to open it up to the first panel topic, which is the impact of the economy, and talk about the areas of the call center industry that the panelists have seen affected and some of the practical ways that they see that this can be addressed. And I'd like to start with Bruce, and then Mike, if you would talk after Bruce and then Chad, that'd be great.
Okay, sure. I'd be happy to do that, Kay. And I guess we're going to do just the first part first and then the second part second. So the areas of call center industry we've seen affected are many. There's a lot of pain points that are indicated in the study with regard to staffing, hiring, operational costs, and training. In our own work, we've seen closings, layoffs, cutbacks, delays of new technology that are very, very needed in a variety of industries, and notably financial services, travel, even utilities have been hit very hard by this. Two companies we've worked with in the transportation industry are in the process of merging, and you can bet that there's a lot of worry and tension in those situations. One premier company in the financial services industry that's been certified as a center of excellence for 5 years recently informed us that they will not be able to undergo the process for 2009 due to the fact that they're being taken over. So we have seen in many industries across the board a lot of pain that has come with the fact that there's been cutbacks and pressure being put on the call center to cut back on costs. And so, okay, I'll talk to the second point later on, I guess. Right?
Okay.
Is that correct?
That's fine, or you can do it now, or Mike, if you want to contribute, either one. However you feel that the flow is best, please do.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll actually then address the second point, which is the practical areas, because I think the things that managers need to do in these difficult times is to manage. And one thing you need to manage, as I mentioned before, is your metrics. And understand where you can contribute value to your company, how that can be brought back to the metrics, and then how you can demonstrate that you're using those metrics to add value to your company. The next thing is that you need to be able to manage your people. And here, it's really important to communicate in difficult times. I happened to have been in a center yesterday where, in fact, the employee morale is incredibly high, even in these very difficult times. And one of the reasons for that is a tradition of communication. The people here feel that they've been communicated well with through quarterly meetings and through even more frequent meetings when necessary, in order to know what the company is doing, where it's going, and how it's approaching its whole customer contact function. So you as a manager should think about, are you communicating well with your people now, particularly now? Do they feel that the honesty is coming through in the way that you're communicating with them? Next is managing your customers. And here, being able to measure your customer satisfaction is the best way to monitor the quality that we're all concerned about as things get squeezed. And in fact, by measuring your customer satisfaction on a regular basis, in fact, if possible, on a real-time basis, it's the best way to be able to also, when those discussions need to be had with senior management about cutbacks, if you're able to correlate your customer satisfaction measurement results with the actions that you take, it's the most convincing way and managerially correct way that you can approach this situation. And then managing is a question of managing yourself, too, and being able to, in these difficult times, say, okay, where do I need to put my focus? Where do I need to perhaps reassure my people a little more, put myself out there a little bit more, be more of a presence on the floor and with my staff so that, in fact, you're able to help them have confidence in what's going on in the call center. And finally, you know, just keep in mind that we're all trying to go toward a balanced scorecard so that if you're able to benchmark your center and make sure that you have the quality metrics that you need and the quantity or the cost metrics that you need, then you'll be able to satisfy both the need to satisfy your customers and the need to satisfy the higher-ups who are putting pressure on you with regard to cost. And you can do it in a way that's shown through the numbers. Okay, thanks, Kay.
Sure. Mike, do you have something to add here?
Absolutely. And Bruce hit, I think, all the key points around the things that we're seeing affect our industry at this particular point in time. Just have a couple of thoughts I'd like to add to what he said about ways to mitigate some of the negative impacts than maybe just outside of the thoughts that he raised. One of the things that just strikes me is as I think about the CSRs sitting at their desk day in, day out, there's more and more pressure on them as they have to support customers. There's fewer folks. There's a pressure to drive more work through less dollars. And I think we have to enable the folks at the desktop with better knowledge bases, find ways to define the best practices for every call type, link our knowledge bases and our best practices so that we have the tools at the desktop level to enable our reps to support customers effectively. I think the more that we can put the tools in the hands of the folks that are on the floor so that they can support customers in the midst of these very trying times when we have customers that we have to deal with day in, day out that are very frustrated, they're impatient, I think that this is a time that we have to invest in those tools at the desktop level. So that's one point. Another point is I think we have to find ways to make sure that the CSRs have time to breathe during the day. The potential for very high occupancy levels and trying to really drive everything we can out of folks that are on the floor is going to put folks in a position the quality level is going to degrade over a period of time. And I think we have to find ways to schedule time within everybody's schedule to make sure that the CSRs have a chance to breathe so that quality levels stay up as a result of them having the time to take time to think and prepare for that next call with customers from time to time. Another thing that strikes me in the midst of this, and I've started to see some of the impacts myself within our business, is that the suppliers of our organization are starting to show stress. The folks in the telecommunications space are investing less in their equipment. We're also seeing other vendors investing less. We're seeing some impact when it comes to maintenance of equipment and maintenance of networks. And we're starting to see some of the impacts that can have on our business day in, day out. So I do believe one of the things that necessary is to make sure that we spend time with all the suppliers that we deal with, make sure that they are managing the maintenance of all the components that support our business as tightly as possible, even in these very trying economic times, and we make sure that we have disaster recovery plans for all components that make up the infrastructure that support our business, so that if anything does take place that impacts our operation, we have the ability to take a look at a plan and deal with that issue, I think, more proactively and planfully than we may if we allow what could take place with infrastructure providers if we see failures in the future. So those are a couple of points in addition to the things that Bruce raised. I think he raised a lot of excellent points about the impact that decreased spending on CapEx and OpEx are having. And I'd like to hand it back to Kay.
Great points, Mike. And also, I just want to acknowledge a couple people have said that, Mike, your line is a little choppy and staticky. I know that there's nothing we can do about that now, but I just want to make sure people know we know that. Chad, how about you? Do you have a couple of points that you'd like to emphasize here?
I do. Kay, thank you, and I'll keep it as brief as I can. And again, I want to wear the HR hat and what we have seen, and really three main points. And a lot of the results from the survey, to your first question, are in there. And if you haven't seen the survey, there are some phenomenal ideas, trends, and results in there. But if I had to extrapolate it out, obviously labor cost, number one. You know, this is the highest associate cost on a P&L sheet. All aspects of labor are being reviewed right now, from wages, benefits, perks, et cetera. You know, both the soft and hard dollar cost. To kind of tie in number two, some practical ways to address this challenge on labor, you know, we're asking our clients, or working with them, to evaluate all levels of the labor that hits these associated P&L costs. You know, look for those areas of excess redundancy or non-value in driving the customer satisfaction experience in the organization. A hot topic trend we're seeing has been the thought or the implementation of a virtual agent model along with the continuation of strategic outsourcing initiatives. Outsourcing, we have seen and heard, plays a vital role in the industry. both in an internal model and an outsourcing model can coexist in organizations. It's just about a matter of finding that perfect blend. So look for non-core processes or other procedures and eliminate. Number two, for areas impacted, you know, training, resource management, you know, budget dollars have been slashed, reduced, or cut overall, you know, within the professional services development. You know, significant considerations are being weighed and reviewed around how we can train for less and keep our people informed. So what are some practical ways to address in that whole training area is, you know, develop more, train the trainer techniques, look at internal resources for knowledge management, leverage that, take learned and practical experiences and put them into development mode. The best education we're finding is the real lesson education versus the textbooks, glossed answers. Organizations are finding a tremendous amount of creativity in how they're providing real-time training requirements. And I'll go real quick back to the hiring piece just on the number two. A lot of wasted costs are contained in a hiring practice. Map out your entire hiring practice for all levels and look for ways to streamline, reduce. You'd be surprised if you haven't done this or you are doing it. There's always efficiencies in that. Organizations that do not have their entire process, recruitment process mapped out are at a distinct disadvantage and possibly not keeping good face in the market when trying to attract talent. You know, your hiring process tells prospective candidates in a downturn, upturn market a lot about your company, and you want to put your best face forward to that market. So if you haven't yourself, go through the hiring process internally, do a test, see what's working, see what's not working, and make recommendations. The third point I'll go, okay, and I'll go quickly, is compensation being impacted. The survey showed 30% responding as having impact on this area. Hard dollar reward and recognition programs, benefit package, wage increases, salary bands, you name it, all aspects of compensation treatment is on the table. We did, Kay, you and I did a webinar back in September on the topic of call center compensation, and it provided some very interesting benchmarks in call center compensation. How I would address that with number two, some practical ways, obviously very big, big topic and extremely important. Where do we start? You know, listen to your employees, suggested input to what makes your specific compensation plan work or not work. You know, it's not always about the money. It's more about a well-communicated plan that works effectively in your organization. Just because a compensation plan works well in another company doesn't necessarily mean that same compensation plan is going to work in yours. It's got to be unique to your situation. So custom tailor a compensation plan that's unique and one fit size all doesn't approach doesn't necessarily mean that works in compensation. Thanks, Kay.
Great. Thank you very much. Now, because I'm the moderator and I have to say this, we're getting some phenomenal questions. I want to make sure that we have time to ask these questions. So if I can ask you all to keep your responses maybe to a minute and a half or so we can get through these and get to the questions, that would be great. So the next topic is next new initiatives. And we asked the people in the survey real quickly what they saw as the next new initiative for the call center, and the top response was increasing automation for self-service. And so I'm going to ask the panel, what new initiatives do you see as important in the coming months and years, and why, and how can we approach these new initiatives in a fiscally responsible fashion? And Mike, if I can have you start off, and then Phil, and then Bruce, that would be terrific.
Great, thank you. And I'll try to be brief and go directly to some of the practical ways to address some of the challenges. I think preserving quality and growing quality is a must during this period. This is the time to grab share from those that skimp on service. However, I think it's going to be done through the use of tools that drive the cost per unit down. Self-service, speech solutions, streamlined business processes and call flows, process enablement and automation through technology, getting the right call to the right person to solve the customer issue. First call resolution are all mechanisms to help us drive costs down and at the same time improve service. I think we have to focus on short cycle projects that can pay for themselves in a short period of time. I think we need to put our IT resource on the floor with the service function, working with them to find ways to improve our CRM packages, what we're doing with our knowledge bases, what we're doing with our self-service engines to streamline and improve the infrastructure that's in place that supports our customers. Those are some of the ideas that come to my mind as I think about the things that can help us in the short term. I do want to come back to some of the points I think we've got to be all aware of when it comes to the equipment providers and the telecommunication companies as we get into some of the other questions, as long as there's time to do that. So I'll pass it back to you, Kay.
Great. And if we can go to Phil?
Sure. Look, I think Mike's right on, and I think customer satisfaction is still going to be king, but it's going to be redefined. I think we're definitely moving to be more of a self-selection and self-resolution culture as all of the capital restraints come in to deal with everything that we've got in front of us. You know, there's going to be a higher utilization of IVRs. I'm already seeing it in across many, many businesses, and less of a customer delight, you know, but still focused on trying to satisfy that customer resolution the first time. You know, I think we have to think of new ways of doing business, internet applications. You know, this webinar is one example of delivering value in a low-cost way. You know, we have to redefine how we communicate with the consumer, you know, call center and web development, you know, online chat. You know, all of these things are going to be imperative. However, I do think that we're going to face some governmental regulations as we go forward. And I think, you know, we were already on the verge of it with the outbound telemarketing as we went through Do Not Call, and it was starting to move towards inbound. You know, government regulation in these types of channels are definitely going to be pushing us in another way for cost and investment. So I think new models and new business development is really the strong suit of what we need to come up with in the end to really get through everything that is on the table today. Back to you, Kay.
Terrific, Phil. Thanks. Bruce, how about you?
Okay, yeah, no, I agree with Phil and Mike that with regard to the service, it's going to be pushed more towards self-service, and those people who are really well-positioned and thoughtful about it will figure out which parts or which segments of their market are actually willing to do and, in fact, happy to do self-service. In fact, the younger generation prefers it in many cases. And so those who are able to automate their websites to do their IVRs in a way that delights instead of turns people off will, in fact, be winners as they come through all this. Because we have seen in our studies that if self-service is well done, it builds loyalty. If it's done poorly, it just drives everybody away. So what's key here is doing it, but doing it with best practices in mind, and also being able to measure your customer satisfaction as you go, so that you can see what is working and what's not. The other thing that I think was Phil mentioned earlier, knowledge bases are going to be extremely important going forward. And I think what Chad was mentioning with regard to the openness to explore new things in the areas of outsourcing, at-home agents, et cetera, is going to be new initiatives that we're going to see more of. And something that's a little more futuristic that Mike mentioned, things like communications-enabled business processes and communications-based process automation are going to be things to look for in the future, because the enterprise as a whole, not just within the call center, but also within the whole enterprise, are going to be looking to set up tasks that become work modules that actually get pulled through the whole center. So that, for example, just to bring this down to earth, if a customer is late in paying, it's noted in the system, which will immediately send messages and create tasks for people in shipping so that you don't ship anything more to them, in sales, in the outbound collections area, and perhaps in the legal area, with the aim of addressing and hopefully rectifying the situation, creating tasks that are will keep the thing open until it's successfully resolved. So I think there's a lot of exciting things coming up there in the future, Kay.
Terrific.
Hey, this is Chad. Can I just throw a real quick comment? I'll go real quick.
Sure,
here.
You
just
can.
Number one initiatives, and again, from an HR perspective, I think the tools and techniques we use to hire and identify talent in the market, the next generation tools, software tracking system, web techniques, blogging, social networks, all of these items and how they are blended effectively to create an effective hiring strategy are important. The time will come. I don't know if it's next year or a couple years, but companies are going to need to hire again. They're going to hire in a big way. The downturn that we're having in hiring right now should be used to engage on next-generation process and tools for hiring and selection. Thank you.
No, terrific. That's great. And, Chad, you are, if I can ask you to start the comment on the third one, I think this is a real important one for us to focus on as well. What positives do you see as a result of this current economic downturn for the contact center industry? Chad, if you want
to
start.
The good news is there are positives, Kay. and, you know, hard to believe, but there are positives. Number one is for employers, by far, better applicant pool. More than ever, this is an opportunity for your organization. How are you going to capitalize on this moment? The budget dollars you're paying for X today, you can get Y much better. Reduced turnover, number two. More employees are staying, typically. Less are leaving. You should see a positive line with your tracked attrition rates. Number three, committed workforce. In a time of need, people are buckling up and going the extra mile to deliver whatever the results are asked of. Typically, this is leading to improved customer satisfaction, this above and beyond. Number four, best creativity comes from hard times or when people are forced to step up to the plate. This is the time to maximize all the creative energy of your workforce in helping solve the problems to how you're going to handle this economic downturn. You know, don't let the focus be on job loss, layoffs, people needing to do more with less. Turn the focus on creative energy. Get the ideas rolling. Have contests. Make it very public to what these ideas and, you know, share them, implement them. Turn that focus. And find, okay, I would say number five, efficiency. We have to do better with less or, you know, we lose on the opportunity. In hard times, we need to get lean and mean, determined and focused, thus causing a natural tendency towards efficiency and improvement. So those would be my five comments.
Terrific. How about you, Bruce?
Well, wow, what a great time to buy technology if you have some budget and if you can find a vendor that's going to stay in business for the long haul. That is another one of the opportunities that this offers, because more and more vendors are answering the question, how much does it cost, with a question of their own, which is, how much budget do you have? And the irony actually is this. The costs for new technology are more affordable today. The new technology often has a sizable ROI when it's put side by side with the old technology. In other words, if you consider all the costs of your current technology and you put that side by side with the new technology, and particularly now with the opportunity to be looking to people who have all-in-one solutions as well as hosted solutions where you don't even have much in the way of upfront costs, and you could, in fact, help your CFO by bringing down costs by installing new technology that helps you out, gives better service to your customers, and makes your agents more happy. So it is an irony that just at a time the costs are down and the company needs more profits, the spigot oftentimes gets turned off. But you do have a lot of hungry vendors out there. If you can have them show you your wares and calculate the ROIs, make them do that with today's systems, then invite them into your management meetings and have them show how it can all work to actually bring down your cost, then, in fact, there may be an opportunity here for many people.
Yeah. Hey, great. If I could add something.
Absolutely,
well.
Please.
You know, those are all positive points. My fellow panelists are right on the mark. But, from where I sit and where I stand, you know, right now, the short-run picture is not very rosy. Right now, expansion is just not part of most of the games today in financial services. And I think, Bruce, you had said it earlier. You know, there's less and less capital that is being allocated towards acquisition programs. We're trying to find ways of cost containment in service programs. And all of this is coming from the severe capital restrictions from funding from most of the corporations today. I believe that the sales and margin pressure is what's driving a lot of the cost pressure at the contact centers today. And this is just going to continue in the short run, and it's going to impact many parts of the industry. It's going to impact suppliers of technology. There's going to be limited dollars for capital investment in technology. There might be cheaper ways of doing it, but it's still a cost that has to be overcome, economic development organizations, all the way to associations like the American Teleservices Association, you know, there are impacts. So I really believe, and the mantra that I'm leading forward at the ATA is that we've really got to find new ways of doing business. You know, new deal structures, new business models, some new partnerships. I'd really stretch the senior leaders of the contact centers to really reach out and think of redistribution of capital, you know, for partner contribution, investing in the core businesses that you're in. Being a part of the acquisition programs, not being a vendor and being more of a partner. And I think, in yesteryear, we would probably say there wasn't much opportunity for that because there's a lot of profits, you know, done on the marketing side of the business. But the more involved you become in this economic climate that we have today, I think the more open these types of new deals and new contract structures can become. And I think if you open up that opportunity, I think that's going to serve the contact center industry very well to continue the deployment of capital and investment in contact center technology and all of the tactical issues that you face as businesses. So you know, all in all, you know, best practices and these types of new deals, You know, if I may make a plug for the ATA, you know, happens in networking events and discussions. You know, the creativity to what Bruce and Chad were talking about are really a part of this game. We've got to share best practices everywhere we can, and forums like the American Teleservices Association and other associations that you might be dealing with are good places to understand at least some of the short run deal structures that can help overcome some of this these pain points.
And don't forget the CCPS.
Yes.
And I just want to make sure everybody knows that's Phil. We've had a couple of questions just to identify who was speaking. So
Yeah. Everybody,
that was Phil. Great points. Thank you very much. What I'm going to do is move to the fourth, and I want to let everybody know, I know we've got time constraints. We will take as many questions as we can. We may go over a couple of minutes, depending upon the panelist availability, but we'll go over probably a couple of minutes to get to some questions. And the questions that we don't get to, what we typically try to do after a session is I actually get a record of the questions, and we'll try to get some answers out to you. We'll farm them out to the panelists and see if we can't get them out to you again, and I can send you an email. So on this fourth question, this fourth area, which I think is a great question, is put yourself in the role of an executive facing the current economic downturn. What would your priorities be today to ensure your future success, and what would your first actions and decisions be? And Mike, if you could start that off, I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Sure. There's 5 points that come to my mind. First of all, maximize self-service. Make sure that the self-service tools are easy to use, and the lion's share of the reasons why customers call can be serviced through the tool. Test and trial changes monthly to drive adoption and use by your customers. Second, streamline every system and process that's in place to support the customer so that the call flow gets to the customer issue as quickly and effectively as possible. Automate within the systems business processes that require post-call work or manual steps in and around the transaction with the customer. One and done's got to be a mantra as part of this. Online training, the knowledge base efforts have to be stepped up. Make sure that all applications, hardware, switches, ACDs, telecommunications facilities are being maintained and managed to deliver on the reliability requirements of your business. DR plans should be developed if you don't have them, and refresh so that actions, should a disaster with an ACD, network switch, et cetera, occur, you know how to respond. Meet with your suppliers now to make sure that your service requirements are clear and you know how they will respond to issues. Last point, your employees are and will continue to show stress. Panic is possible. Management must drive urgency to drive the changes that are necessary through engagement of the people within our organization. Panic will result if there isn't a plan. If it isn't communicated and people don't see the end result of the changes that need to take place. That panic can cripple your center and your company. Folks have to be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel to the degree that we can help them see it. We have to show our folks that we're prepared. I'll hand it back to you, Kay.
Great. Thank you. Bruce, are you still on the line?
Yes, I sure am.
Okay.
And these are great points, Mike. In fact, I was going down my checklist, and you hit just about all of them, particularly hard on that human aspect there at the end, which is just so important. We see that all the time. It happens I used to be the CFO of a multinational company, so I know a little bit about how those corner office bean counters think. And they like numbers, and the numbers they like the best are the ones that point to incremental profits. So anything you can do to scrape together earnings per share is a plus for them, because they're scrambling trying to find them throughout the enterprise to report. And if you can, and this is the thing, many of you do not think of yourselves as a potential source of earnings per share, but you are. I've seen it all the time. I've helped people to compute it. So if you can be a source of earnings through the initiatives you propose, you become an ally to be valued instead of a nail to be hammered, which is what has been happening all too often. So as an executive, you know, I'd benchmark, understand where I can cut costs without cutting meat, and so what you should do is try to beat them to that punch. And also, for some of you out there, if your company does end up being taken over, you can bet they will want to look at your performance and benchmark it to see how your customer contact function stacks up. After all, when they're thinking about acquiring something, what's more important than the customer relationship that you guys hold in the palms of your hands? So you want to know what they will see before they see it. Knowledge is power. Competitive knowledge is key. So know how you stand next to your competitive peers. Okay, thanks, Kay.
Terrific. And how about you, Chad?
I'd start with a strong cup of coffee to get started. No. The bottom line from my perspective, Kay, is that I would just ensure I've surrounded with the right people on my leadership team. No time for weak links. You've got to be stellar to survive. You know, maybe tough decisions you got to make, but surround yourself with the best baseball team. I have a lot more thoughts, but I also want to get to the question and answer. So thanks, Kay.
Great. Okay, we have a lot of interest here, so let me just get this started. Panelists, if you would just, I will read the question, and if someone will say, I'll take that, and then anybody else can comment. The first one I have is, based on the current U.S. economy, are U.S. businesses who currently don't outsource at this time considering outsourcing?
You know, I'll take that one. That was, if I were to be asked what my top priorities would be, the first one would have been understand your partner's needs, because the first comment I had is that the inherent in-source models today in these big corporations are not as efficient as they may want them to be. And you know, one of the biggest opportunities for this contact center industry is to understand that what you do is a clear skill set, and you do it better than some of the bigger corporations out there today. And so where they were reluctant at one time to let go of those in-source models, there may be absolute application in developing, you know, a closer connection to customer service, you know, even in the simple forefront of things like card activation programs and absolutely a tangential, you know, piece to outsourcing that, as well as the marketing and sales functionality that goes along with it. So I think, you know, whoever's asking that question, right on. I think that's one of the most unique opportunities that faces this industry today.
Great. And that was Phil, correct?
Yes, that's Phil.
Okay, yeah. If you could just identify yourself, that'd be great. The next, let me just go on. Does anybody have another comment on that one, or can I go to the next question?
Just keep going down the list, Kay.
Okay. Next question. Do you see the current global economic issues pushing the industry to be more virtual versus brick and mortar? Good question.
Yeah, this is Bruce. I can take that. Yes, we do see that. There's been a real uptick in interest with regard to at-home agents, as well as the at-home self-employed model. So and also just sort of bringing centers together. There are still some older operations where different centers are very much separate, and now they're being brought together. These are even with the in-house model. So I do see more virtualization, making sure that you get the coverage that you need for customer service, and trying to add to flexibility in some cases to get the talent that you need at the cost that you can afford by virtualizing your network. So my answer would be yes. A lot of people are still in the exploratory phase, though, and I think a lot of the action will be over the next few years.
Great, thanks. This is an interesting question. It says, based on what the economy is doing, how should we change what we're measuring? What metrics are recommended now?
Okay, I guess I should take that one, too. This is Bruce. And metrics that are being emphasized these days are things like the one and done, which was mentioned earlier, and I agree with that entirely, customer satisfaction measurement, and then balanced off, because those are two quality measurements, balanced off with a metric like calls per agent per hour, so that you can see how you're doing on the quantity side, the cost side. So that's where we see things going. A balanced scorecard is where we see things going.
Great.
Yeah, and I would agree with that too, Bruce. I mean the bottom line is that I don't think core metrics really are going to change dramatically. I think the emphasis on making sure that you become more efficient in the metrics that you're dealing with, such as return on investment, you know, for acquisition type programs and all of the SLAs that you deal with today are really what the name of the game is.
Yep.
Okay. And this one, and Mike, I think this one was a comment that you made.
Well, I got one comment to add to what I think was just stated. And
okay.
I think it's useful for us to understand from a metric standpoint, when we look at the distribution of where calls are handled, I think looking at that at those distributions are very important. And at the CSAT level, at each of those distribution points, and what I'm talking about is self-serve and IVR and speech solutions versus using folks within brick and mortar or virtual agents as well.
Okay. And Mike, I think this came from a comment that you made. Somebody said, how can I realistically give CSRs breathing time when I need to minimize staff to make targets?
That's a great question. I think that's something that you just have to plan in all of your staffing models and make sure that you're able to find that way, find a way to come up with some time within the staffing models that you put in place to define the number of folks you need at each interval that cares for some of that time. I think that's the only way that you can do it.
Okay. This is an interesting one. For those of you panelists who are politically have a political view, it says, can one or more of the panelists address or provide some insight into the uncertainty of the current political environment where the Obama administration plans to penalize companies for moving jobs offshore and views on cost-effective alternatives? Anybody want to hit that one?
Chad?
The question is again, Kay?
The question
it's a tough one. You know,
it's moving,
of course.
Yeah, it's really asking, you know, are we penalizing people to move offshore because of the political views of the current administration? And what do we do?
From my perspective, I think it's too early to really say, to comment. I've heard stuff on both sides of the spectrum. You know, I really don't know if I can answer that question right now, Kay,
okay,
to be honest. I just think it's too early in the administration, and it's kind of wait and see.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is Phil. I mean, you know, quite frankly, I think some of the offshore models haven't proven out, you know, quite as effective as they once started out to be. So I think, you know, even outsource or offshore models are really starting to feel the same type of cost pressures that we're feeling, you know, in the U.S. And as you start to look at that on a global level, the global economy is very real. It's going to start affecting everybody in pretty much the same way. And I don't think right now that the administration has really ruled on anything. But I think, you know, keeping a very clear regulatory watch on those types of events is imperative. So it's just something that needs to be a part of your standard business process.
Okay, there's a question about your perspective on the growth of home or virtual agents.
Yes.
What do you see as the growth, or what do you see the viability of using that in this economy?
Okay, I can jump in on that. Yes, I can. I think there is viability, and there's a number of situations where we've seen this happen. One is in those people who are in markets where still they're having problems hiring the kinds of specialized agents that they need for the work that they do. The second are those people who have been scratching their heads for a number of years saying, gosh, you know, so-and-so moved away who was a wonderful agent, or so-and-so decided to be a stay-at-home mom but has X number of hours a day that they could devote to this. And isn't there a way that we could accommodate that, continue to have the benefit of their skills and their enthusiasm, but not have them have to come into the office every day? So that, in addition to the scheduling flexibility that allows you to schedule people in a way that will up your utilization, which will increase your efficiency and therefore reduce your costs, have all come into play. People are realizing that this could be a very good model. They do need to have the proper technology to make this happen. And so, in fact, that's one of the things that's driving toward the adoption of some new technologies and, in particular, hosted models.
And there was a question about what you mean by hosted models. So can you just give a brief definition of that?
Sure. This is Bruce. And a hosted model is a situation where your platform is not on site. So you don't have any boxes on site. You don't have any of the technology, if you will, on site. What you do have to have is computers that can connect to the internet. So the one thing that you have to have on site is technical expertise to keep your people connected to the internet. But then all of the applications that you use are in fact hosted by the vendor, and you access their technology, and that way they're responsible for keeping it up, for administering it, for doing all the upgrades, for doing all the maintenance, and what you have to do is to access it through the internet and then pay usually a monthly fee for quote-unquote renting the technology.
Great. And somebody asked a question about if any of you have seen an innovative self-service automation technology, how people are trying to utilize that and not decrease the quality of service, but actually use it to increase the quality of service while reducing cost. No takers?
Anyone? Or this is Bruce. I can try again, but let someone else answer that.
Well, if there's no one answering, go ahead.
Okay, sure. Because actually, I mean, I think of my own experience. The bank that I'm now using, the airlines that I now use, the credit cards, all of them I use self-service in a way that makes me much happier, actually, than having to call somebody. And so those self-service models where it's easy to get online, they have a website which welcomes me, which knows me, and which is able to give me efficient service, is something that I can point to as things that I think are very, very good models. I'm hesitant to actually mention the name of the banks and the credit card companies and the travel services, but I think if anyone wants to explore a little bit online, they'll find some.
Okay, this is Chad. We've seen a trend in hiring where some of the organizations we're working with are all around that interactive IVR self-service stuff. That's where we've got a lot of searches we're working on.
Okay. And what I would like to do, I know that we've got a lot of questions coming in, and still there are some really good technology. There are some real specific technology questions. I think those are probably best handled if we can do that after the fact. I'd like to go ahead and make sure that we end this on time so that people are not held over. I know the panelists also have some things that they need to get to. So what I would like to do is go ahead and make sure that we thank everybody for attending, that we really thank the panelists, some incredible ideas, terrific insights, and again, if the audio recording is quality, it will be posted on the site. Please document in the post survey any topics that you would like to see expanded, and we will get panelists together and schedule a webinar on the Contact Center Performance Forum for you. And then go to the contactcenter.ning.com to stay connected. And again, this presentation, the PowerPoint, and the audio will be posted no later than March 2nd, which is next Monday. So, and you will get an email from me telling you when it is posted. So if you have K Jackson, the initial K Jackson, at Response Design, in so that I don't get trapped in your spam filter, you will get the notification of that. I want to thank everybody for their attendance. The session is going to end now. Again, your participation has been incredible, and we thank everybody for joining us. Thank you so much. See you at the next webinar.